Christopher Luxon joining us today, the leader of the National Party, as always. Chris, a warm welcome. Tēnā koe.
Morena Dale, how are you today?
Yeah, good, thanks, Chris. They're giving you a bit of a booting around in the media about ratings and popularity. Hey, plenty of leaders of our country have come from low ratings along the way, Chris. So, look, man, you're always welcome to air your views here, even though they may differ from some of our listeners. But look, it's a contest of ideas, isn't it, as we approach an election? And yeah. you're as welcome as anyone else is, Chris Luxon. So thanks for joining us today, mate. Let's start.
Well, appreciate the opportunity, Dale.
Yeah, you know, let's start. I mean, the budget reaction, firstly, heading down the wrong track in many ways. And I'll leave the stage for you for a moment. Just our Māori people are keen to know, too, about some of the initiatives that the National Party would advance that might affect us and improve our livelihoods, our way of life. So just touch on some of the aspects about the budget you think that our listeners could benefit from understanding more clearly, please, Chris. And if you would be kind enough to look at some of these Māori initiatives that were thrown up, Matatini, Matariki, and more. Stage is yours for a moment, mate.
Yeah, look, I mean, the big challenge, Dale, was that really the budget blew out big time. And what that means is that this government spending has just gone through the roof, and then as a result, so has more debt. So the country owes almost $22 million in interest each day just because of the debt. So more spending, more debt. And the consequence of that is that what the Treasury is saying is that we're going to have interest rates and inflation will be higher for longer. And that just means that the cost of living crisis that we're all experiencing with not being able to get to the supermarket and buy food because it's too expensive, not, you know, our rent's going up all the time, and obviously mortgage rates going up, just creates more pain for, you know, hardworking Kiwis. What would we do differently? I mean, we just need to make sure we're not wasting money on things that aren't making a difference to people out there. We really want to make sure every dollar that's spent is actually, you know, helping people along the way. We've got to make sure we give people some tax relief so that if you're working, you know, an average salary, average income, you'd get back, a couple would get back about $1,600 a year. If you've got kids in childcare, that would actually give you back $3,900 a year, just to try and help people through the cost of living crisis at this point in time. And then what we really need, to be honest, Dale, is rather than, you know, all the conversation being about taxing and spending and borrowing, which is what's happening at the moment, we need to have a plan to grow the economy, and that's really, really important. Just with respect to Te Matatini, I'm a big fan of that, and I was very supportive of increasing funding and support for Carl Ross and his team and what they've done. I've been there several times now over many years before politics and during politics, and it's just fantastic. It's a world-class event. It's a showcase. We should be really proud about it. We should be exporting it to the world, and just continue to scale it up is absolutely fantastic. So really, for me, it's really about how do you get the cost of living under control. That's about controlling inflation so we actually get people can afford products, you know, food and rent and mortgages. We've got to make sure that we invest in health and education each and every year. We're going to spend more in health and education each and every year under my government because it's important. But we've got to be able to get the money to the front lines and actually help people get better results and better outcomes. They get a better quality of life.
Some have seized upon your fairly abrupt call to return the cost of prescriptions. When we look at the data, we know that, you know, sadly, there are many people in very precarious financial positions, Chris, who, for some reason, they've been to the doc and they might look at a script that's got four or five things and say, I can't handle it right now. And then ultimately don't even pick up those prescriptions. Given the opportunity again, would you backtrack on that, or is it something that you're going to stick to?
The issue is that this is $140 million, right? So that's what it's costing. But the problem is it's going to everybody. And what we're saying is, look, I fully agree with you. I think, you know, you're a low-income person and all of a sudden you get $5 charges. If that's the thing that stops you from picking up the prescription and getting the medicine to your kids or to yourself, you know, that's something we want to do something about. So what I'm saying is, I don't know why people like me, for example, are getting free prescriptions, because that's money that actually I can afford to pay, I should pay, frankly. But what we want is a more targeted approach. So, you know, if you are, for example, you know, if you spend $100 on prescriptions today, if you spend beyond that, you get them for free after that point in time. So we'd carry on with that. We think people on community service card holders or super gold card holders would be a good place to start, but a targeted approach for those that are on lower incomes and certainly making it free for them is fantastic. We'd be very supportive of that. But I just don't think everybody in the country and those that can afford to pay are actually getting it. Doesn't make sense when we've got to be really careful with every dollar we're spending at the moment. Because that's, you know, if we just targeted genuinely the lower income people, it might cost us, you know, what would it cost us? Probably about, you know, maybe $160 million a, you know, over 4 years rather than 640. Well, that leaves us, that's $500 million that could be spent doing something else, right? So in healthcare, which we've got a number of challenges or problems. So the point was, we don't believe in universal, every man, every person getting it, but we do believe in a more targeted approach. And Shane Retty and I have been talking about that approach since before Christmas, and so that was the difference in opinion between us and the government.
It's a chance for you to invoke a particularly Māori concept, and that's one called koha. So you go in there and say, you know, Chris, if you can afford the $5, kei pai, but if you can't, that's okay too. Have you any thoughts of spreading the koha message wider across Aotearoa?
It's a great concept. It's just that we need to be really sure about managing our money and our budget. So that's why I'm saying, look, let's make it really targeted. Let's make sure we're supporting people who desperately need it and actually does make a difference to them, because it is the thing that's stopping them from getting the medicines that they desperately need. But equally, people like me, wealthy people, don't need it. They can pay for it themselves.
Kia ora. You know, some of the terminology, I mean, I find it tough too. Interest rates, inflation, official cash rates, influences, more debt. It is really. And so for, you know, for mum and dad on the street, a lot of our people, it just literally goes over our heads. And, you know, that saddens me, because what's important to them is what they're paying at the petrol pump, what they're paying at the supermarket, and, you know, the cost of keeping their kids in school. So do you think that in time we should break this down a little bit and have a bit more man-on-the-street type delivery rather than this highfalutin
sort of highfalutin language?
Yeah, man.
I agree with you. Now, look, I mean, I think, like, economics is, you know, even the words are really challenging to try and work your head around what they actually are. And rest assured, there's a lot of stuff you've got to get right in that. You know, there's maths and it is about dollars and cents and economics and all that good stuff. But the real thing at the end of the day is, if you don't manage the economy well, the problem is you can't afford the services that you desperately want to get to the people, right? So if you don't have the cash coming in, you can't get the healthcare system that you want. If you don't build the strong economy where we're actually growing and doing things well, then you don't have the money to invest in education and other initiatives that you want to do. You don't get a chance to restore law and order, those sorts of things. So, you know, really the economy is at the heart of what we're doing. And if you really manage the economy well, you know, so that it doesn't cause pain and suffering to people like it is today, right? I mean, we haven't had inflation like we've had it, where prices keep going up faster than people's salaries and wages. And so, you know, that's why it's a real challenge. You've got to run, if you care about people, you run the economy really well so that we can afford the better services that we all want to see, right? If we don't have the money coming in to be able to fund it, that's a real problem.
It seems such a battle at times, you know, the blue team versus the red team. And so we don't hear as much as perhaps Joe Punter out on the street would prefer to hear about some of the positive things that the other guys are doing that you could support. So I was pleased to hear you say, hey, listen, I like Matatini and I like where they're going with that. So, you know, we'll support that. Do you think that you're portrayed often as being negative, Joe?
Well, look, I mean, it's a difficult job being, you know, leader of the opposition, because, yes, our job is, as the title says, leader of the opposition. We've got a duty within the democracy to actually oppose the government and actually hold them to account where we disagree. And that's the idea, that we've got this contest of ideas. So that's one challenge. But we've also got to propose ideas as well. And so, you know, if you look at what we've been talking about through the course of this year with respect to, you know, family boost, childcare support for people, if I think about our approach to how we're going to try and lower our emissions through doubling the amount of renewable electricity in New Zealand, there's a number of initiatives that we've had over the course of this year that actually are our ways of how we can help people and how we can take things forward. So, you know, that's the reality of it. I mean, there's a mixture of opposing the government, holding them to account so that they actually, and that's what you want in a democracy, rather than just one side having its way all the time, and you've got to be able to have that contest in there. But equally, I think the role is also to oppose and propose, and that's really important too.
Good talking with you again today. Thank you, Chris. Hey, listen, the official cash rate looks as though it's going up midweek. Another kick in the guts for Joe on the street.
Mate, it's, Yeah, I mean, because how this works is that basically, you know, I've sat with families who've struggled to get into a house, buy their first home, you know, do multiple jobs to get the deposit together, do it, and now they're really stretched. And then all of a sudden the interest rate goes from 2% to 6%. They've got to go find another $700 a fortnight, which is a huge amount of money on a $500,000 mortgage. And that's all because the interest rate's going up, and 60% of New Zealanders who are lucky enough to own a home, I mean, they're going to refix their mortgages in the next 12 months. So they're going to go through a power of pain. But this is a consequence of because the government spent so much money, it's created inflation, which means prices are going up faster than wages. And the only way you deal with it, or one of the ways you deal with it, is you have to take interest rates up to try and to get inflation under control. And when you take interest rates, things start slowing up because the economy starts slowing up because people have higher costs or businesses have higher costs, and therefore they start laying off workers. So there's a real pattern here to economics that is history and is the principles of economics that we just be really careful about. But what's happening here? Government spending and it's borrowing, and as a result, interest rates are going up, and that's just going to cause more pain and suffering for people. So it's a choice that the government's made in the budget to live with higher inflation and live with higher interest rates for longer.
Thanks for sharing some cordial with us, Chris. You're always welcome to have a with our peeps. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much, Dale. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Chris Luxon.